So, Warwick, have you ever gone to Wikipedia to find out something to pretend you're an expert?
Oh? Do I have to answer honestly? I've already outed myself, haven't
yes.
I? Yeah, I do a bit of the old Google expert thing, and then I sprout this stuff back. And I actually got caught out recently because... and it was to do with CrossFit, which you think I would know a hell of a lot about that because I'm passionate about it. And, yeah, someone told me about, you know, this particular weightlifting thing they did, and I went and Googled it because I didn't know what it was. And then I came back, you know, with all this intelligent comment, and they said, did you go on YouTube that? I was like, oh, damn.
I remember in my old job in radio, I'll never forget this. So we're radio, like it's a major FM station, and the breakfast team wanted to do something. You know, they do stunts. And so we ranked the lawyer for the whole FM station network across Australia, saying, you know, can we say this or can we do it? I can't remember what it was. She goes, well, Wikipedia says...
What? She actually quoted Wikipedia as the
yes!
reference.
And we were just like, we're looking at each other because she couldn't see our face. We're like, what?
What are they paying you for?
You referenced Wikipedia for law?
Just go and get it from the wiki myself.
Welcome to the Tradies Business Show, helping you get off the tools and into true business ownership, so you can spend more time doing the things that matter most. Now, here are your hosts, Warwick Bidwell and Michaela Clark.
Yeah, the old wiki expert, hey?
Yeah. So hopefully expert. Our listeners aren't out there looking at how to install a plumbing system and looking at Wikipedia while they're doing it.
I reckon there'd be a few tradies, sorry to all of our wonderful listeners, but I reckon there'd be a few tradies that are out on the job site YouTubing the whole... You know, how do I wire up a power? I wonder if the apprentices are doing that. You wouldn't want to get like the US version. I wonder how many apprentices have, you know, cross-wired a PowerPoint and just about blown themselves up because they're YouTubing their trade.
Well, you'd hope not, but anyway.
Anyway, look, technology does have a place, and that's probably not it in the workplace.
But it does in your marketing automation.
Yes.
See what I
that's
did there?
That's a pretty cool segue there.
Yeah.
So, Michaela... Michaela's frothing about today's guest.
Very excited.
I hope that's the right term. I'm not being completely inappropriate or crass, but showing my age here. But yeah, today's guest, very cool. I've actually known Andy for quite a few years in a couple of previous business lives. And great guy. He's helped a couple of clients of mine. But Michaela's excited for different reasons about today's episode. Not because he's hot or anything. I mean, he's not a bad-looking bloke.
Look, there's nothing wrong with talking about funnels and tags and that kind of stuff now, is there?
Mm.
Now, I'm a big believer, we're both a big believer in the power of automation and what it can do, especially for trade businesses, because no one's really doing it.
No, it's a huge opportunity.
Other than the Jeremy Watsons of the world.
Yeah, there's not many trade businesses. Like, I reckon you could count them on one hand, to be honest,
yeah.
That do this stuff well. And it's called marketing automation. Fancy name. It just means using your computer and some software to send emails and stuff out to people automatically without you having to lift a finger.
And it's, once it's set up, it's all done.
And
just tweak it here
every
and there.
Time, automatically.
And so we're a big believer in this. We wanted to get Andy on because he's had a lot of experience with trade businesses as well as others. He talks about an example where a plumber gets 85% increase in closed leads just by some really simple tweaks. And so after this chat, we thought, hang on, we've got to get him to put an offer together.
Yeah, we haven't done one for a while, actually.
No.
So we hit him up. We put a bit of pressure on him. I know where he lives. And basically, what Andy has put together and his business, Elysium Systems, he's put together an offer to set you up with your marketing automation, and he'll set up, you know, specific automations with you for $500.
No. Is that all?
Yeah. Now, have a listen to the episode because you will really start to wrap your head around why that is such a good deal and why it's so important for you to do this and how easy it's going to be for you to actually get a return on that investment.
And look, I'm sure there's some special conditions and all sorts of stuff, but I'm pretty sure there's like a couple of automations that he'll set up using ActiveCampaign, which we talk about. But that's a really, really good rate to get this stuff set up. Normally it's thousands of dollars. So we really want to make sure that we're making this as easy as possible for you guys.
Yep. So go to either Andy's created a page on his website. Either go to elysium.systems/TBS or go to the show notes and you'll find the link in there. So just go to tradiesbusinessshow.com, find the show notes for this episode about marketing automation and you can click through there and check it out, which you should definitely do, as well as listening to this episode.
And before that, even, before you even talk to Andy, you need to get your sales process in line, don't you?
Yeah, that would be a good step.
Yeah, so know what you want in your funnel and when you contact people. And we have in the Tradies Business Toolkit, we've mapped out how to create your own sales funnel. And that's just one part of the training and videos and checklists and all sorts of stuff that we have in the toolkit.
Mm.
And as well as the private Facebook community, which Andy's going to be in. So anytime now that you have a question about your marketing automation for our toolkit members, he'll be able to answer. So free advice.
So that's tradiesbusinessshow.com/toolkit.
Less than a dollar a day.
Go check it out and have a listen. So joining us on the show is Andy Hoon. Andy, welcome to the Tradies Business Show, mate.
Thanks, Warwick.
Now, Andy Hoon, that sounds like you're doing donuts all day, mate. Has anybody taken the mickey out of your last name, mate? I'm sure it's happened before.
Oh, look, I get everything from Hunter, Honey, and
Honey.
As long as it's not Darling, I'll respond, right?
But, well, yeah, we promise not to call you Darling, mate.
It's one of those weird ones, yep.
We're not talking about cars or anything with you, though. We should get you to explain who you are, Andy, and why you're on the show.
Well, I'm going to jump in and say I'm very excited today, Warwick, because we get to talk marketing geek stuff.
These are Michaela's favourite episodes. There's all this geeky back end, how to stuff. And I have to admit, I've become a little addicted to it myself. So I'll be honest, because it is so powerful, isn't it, Andy?
Yeah, sure. It's amazing the results we see with all sorts of businesses, really, with some of the techniques you can implement with often quite simple processes and things. So be good to talk about some of those.
Yeah, so and we'll dumb it down for our listeners so they get to understand what it is, but as well as give some more advanced stuff for ones that are already doing it. So we'll try and cater for everyone's needs today here at the Tradies Business Show.
All the people happy all of the time.
Yes, which we say don't do.
Yeah. So, Andy, tell us a bit about your background, mate. Like as much of your checkered past as you're willing to share so our listeners get a good sense of what you've done and what you've seen, and then perhaps give us some detail on what you're doing now, mate.
Yeah, sure. So my most recent history that's relevant to this is working in IT for a big American company for quite a few years doing the corporate thing, which kind of got me into the whole software and engineering side of the IT industry. And then it was 2013, I think, I decided to go out on my own and got involved in my own small business, which is, funnily enough, when I first met Warwick. And turned out that business was a huge mistake to get into because it was about something I knew nothing about.
That wasn't
However,
my fault, though, mate.
That wasn't your fault, mate.
I'm just disclaiming all responsibility there.
Responsibility. But one thing that did happen while I was involved with that, it was in the finance industry, was I started coming across marketing automation and some of these tools as a way to help my efforts in that adventure. And I quickly realized when I was using it that, number one, you know, I did have an interest in those kinds of things anyway, so it was more up my alley, so to speak. But sometimes the complexity involved or the concepts involved in getting these things up and running can be a little overwhelming. And I thought, well, I bet there's a lot of small business owners out there who could do with a bit of help. And that gave birth to my current venture, Elysium Systems, which has been running since 2014 now. And I started off as a partner of one of the big players in marketing automation, but have since then I've branched out to cover a few different systems and technology. And it's a very broad area, right? I hope we can sort of today stay focused mainly on, I guess, the core topic, but there's so much that comes into it, you know, not just marketing, sales and processes and fulfillment as well. So it's a pretty cool area. And if you are at all, if you do have a little bit of a geek gene in you, then, you know, some of this will really tickle your fancy, I think.
And for those that don't, for those that aren't like you and Michaela, it can be a bit overwhelming, can it, Andy?
Yeah, it's easy to overcomplicate it when you're starting, I suppose. And like anything, you know, you need to really dip your toe in the water and start, I think, small, start simple, get the low-hanging fruit taken care of, and then you know, gradually implement more complex things as you're more comfortable with it. But it's really, you know, getting an automation platform involved in your business isn't about you becoming an automation expert. It's about actually liberating you to focus on delivering to your clients and growing the business. So, you know, while it's a huge part of my life and my business day, and I really love that, and I know Michaela's into it as well, but, you know, buying or investing in one of these platforms doesn't mean that you need to all of a sudden just devote 50% of your time every day to that. There's obviously with any new system, there is a ramp up period where, you know, it all seems a little overwhelming, but the concepts are pretty straightforward when you understand what's going on.
All right, so we'll narrow it down a little bit. So we'll start off by talking about, what do we mean when we say marketing automation? Like, what are we talking about there?
Well, there's the Wikipedia definition, which is pretty
very reliable source.
Yeah, and that's really talking about platforms and technologies that are for marketing departments and organizations to effectively market on multiple channels and largely online, right? So it sounds big and scary and it's only for big business, but I think that definition's a little out of date and not necessarily relevant to a lot of the platforms and capabilities that are out there. In my mind, what marketing automation's about is it's filling the cracks, right? And that's the first part of it. So all those pieces in your so there's a bit of jargon here. I guess the funnel is what I call it, but that process of somebody becoming aware of your business to the point where they become a client, there's any number of points where they can slip through the cracks. You know, they fill out a form on your website, or they ring up or respond to a direct mail piece, and for whatever reason, they don't get through to be actually becoming a paying client. And a lot of the time that's because the business owner fails to follow up, or any other, you know, half a dozen reasons that the deal just doesn't get closed because the processes aren't in place to cover it off. So that's, I guess, the first part of it, of what I think marketing automation is. But the other part, which is probably more interesting once we've taken care of filling the gaps, is just getting all that noise out of your head about, you know, how your business is supposed to run and the systems that are in place, and probably taps over into Warwick's field a little more, you know, in that, okay, when X happens, we want Y to happen. If that doesn't happen, then we implement process Z. So those types of things that you probably, in a lot of businesses, shoot from the hip a bit, actually getting a system in place to, works with the software where it can to ensure that don't really need to think about it. You just know it's in place. It's going to happen. And if the desired outcome isn't achieved, then we've got something in there built in to follow up.
And it's something that you talked about, people not following up or getting back to inquiries and prospects. It's one of the biggest areas that I know Michaela and I talk about it a lot, and I certainly see it with my wingman clients, is people just, I mean, they get busy. It's not that they don't see the benefit in it. Sometimes I think people are a little afraid of doing that follow-up. And one of the fantastic things about using these automation tools is that we can avoid making those uncomfortable phone calls that a lot of people are reluctant to do in that follow-up of, oh, hey, just checking that you got my quote or proposal is, you know, we can dodge that. But also in automating it means that you don't have to remember You know, we don't miss it. It happens when the time is best, and it really can have a massive impact on conversion rates in a business.
Oh, and you know, there's really good research to back it up as well. It's not certainly not a gut feel. I mean, I've got lots of anecdotal examples of it, but Stanford University, for example, has done a lot of research around the sales side of it, particularly online things in the States, which are fairly applicable here. But if you can follow up within 5 minutes, your closing rate will actually multiply by 9 times. If that's the only thing you do, you're the first one to follow up. You'll have a 9x increase in close rates, right? Now, that's probably unrealistic in most people. It certainly is in mine, right? I mean, most of the day, you know, there's other stuff going on where, you know, we in my business, we don't have a dedicated person that just does sales. But the automation can help you get closer to it. And the fact is, with most tradies, you know, the follow-up won't be happening in general, and not just tradies, actually small business in Australia, the follow-up won't be happening, you know, in many cases for 24 hours if you're lucky. Mm. So if you can be the first one to get back to someone when they're actually in that mindset that they're looking for the product or service that you deliver, you're way ahead of the game. And that's without having a really slick presentation and, you know, all the other pieces in place. That one thing alone is going to close you more business than anything else.
So, you know, it can be a very complicated system, but the other thing I want to point out is it can be very easy and very simple. It doesn't need to be too complicated when you're first getting started. So what do you recommend for people that are perhaps wanting to automate a bit more of their marketing? Where should they start?
The typical low-hanging fruit, right? So the first thing that we do with most clients or talk to about with most people is, again, filling those gaps that are in the follow-up process at the moment with an initial inquiry. So whether it's someone inquiring online or something on the phone, just putting a system in place so that you know that you're going to get a reminder to get back to them after that initial contact's been made. And that's very, very easy to do. You know, you can do it with free software that's out there, something like MailChimp, for example, and hooking that up to your website. If that's all very, it's like a big sort of cloud that weird things happen to you, you know, it's something you need to get help with to hook them up together. But, you know, those kind of skills are fairly, they're commodities these days. So it's not going to cost you a lot of money to do something like that. But certainly the initial inquiry response and follow-up is the first place to start.
Mm.
So this can be something like someone makes an inquiry on your website and emails automatically triggered, say, back to them saying someone will be in contact, and then it could be a series of other emails that go out talking about the company and perhaps some case studies and testimonies, all that kind of stuff, while you're either waiting to follow them up or after you've followed them up, you know, verbally. So it can be both sort of act as a reminder system, but also have a regular communication channel to the prospect.
Yeah, it's definitely worthwhile going through a bit of a nurture process. And again, some of the research that's out there on people becoming, turning from prospects into buyers, on average, it takes between 7 to 12 touches with a client before they actually buy from you. So just going through those steps of, you know, once they've made an inquiry, so the first email that gets back to them, for example, that's one step. Then you'll hopefully be calling them very quickly. That's another contact. Now you can throw in SMSs, you know, direct mail, whatever you need to work them through, and other phone calls, of course, to that 5 to 7 to really get them to the point where they're ready to talk about buying in general. It does come down to the product too, to some extent. You know, if it's a fairly low commitment, low value, and the need is pressing, like, hey, I've got a burst pipe, I need a plumber to come out and fix it. You know, some of this isn't applicable, of course, but importantly, contact with the client needs to be combined with an internal way to get people aware of the fact that they need to follow up and remind them if they haven't.
Yeah,
I suppose that's part of it as well.
And it's a good point.
And they're just emails.
It's a good point, Andy. That one about, You have to customize this or change this based on the sort of product we're talking about. You know, you wouldn't have a 2 week long process of emails and calls and postcards being sent to somebody for $150 pest control treatment. But if we're talking a $5,000 bathroom reno or a re-roofing job or something, or a $20,000 landscaping construction, then we want to actually build more value and trust and like in those early stages, because it's going to make it easier when you turn up with your proposal and you sit down at the coffee table with one of those clients spending $20,000 on their landscaping job to say, okay, here's what we've put together. They're already ready to buy. In a lot of cases.
Yeah, once you've been able to build your authority in their minds that, you know, you are an expert, you know what you're talking about, that decision's going to be a lot easier for them. You know, you obviously need to be able to answer any concerns about the specific delivery of that job, but building the authority and the trust is a big part of it as well, and that's what a nurture sequence will do. Mm. But, you know, on the $150 pest control thing, I think it is relevant there to an extent where when you miss a lead or you lose business, if you've got the person's contact details, there's no reason you wouldn't set something up as well, so that the next time it comes around, you're top of mind. So, you know, there's a place for it with most industries and businesses, I think. You know, the only place where marketing automation isn't really relevant in my mind is businesses like, you know, 7-Elevens and things like that, right, where it's just purely transactional, Johnny on the spot kind of thing. You know, you need a liter of milk or whatever it is. There's not a lot of value there. Although, having said that, you know, Coles and Woolies spend hundreds of millions on marketing every year at the big end of town. But any other service or product can usually benefit from it, because you need, you know, I've got a personal example of this just last week where I had a guy come out a bit over a year ago and do some pest control at my house. Just general cockroach spray, and we've seen a few of them pop up lately, and I would love him to come back, but I don't know who he is. I can't find the receipt. You know, he's never emailed me and never contacted me again.
No way.
And I'm just going to choose someone else, right? He did a great job. I remember his first name. It was David. But apart from that, it's just a lost sale for him, right?
So, well, David, if you're listening to the show, get in touch with us at tradiesbusinessshow.com and we'll hook you up with a customer, mate.
North Lakes, that's where you got to go.
I think the point is here that, you know, with these systems, and these are low-cost ones, they can automatically send a reminder in 6 months and 12 months. So this is a lot of set and forget stuff too. It's not like they've got to, you know, necessarily ring back or remember to, but, you know, a lot of this can be automated automatically.
Yeah, it's about keeping front of mind. And there is a balance between being annoying and you know, being relevant, I guess. So one of the effective things to do, I'm sure a lot of the listeners and you guys have heard of the 80-20 rule, for example, right? So 80% of the communications we try and configure with our clients are nothing to do with selling them something. It's about just either reinforcing the fact that you're an expert or just building interest, right? So, you know, the pest control example again, there's any number of funny videos, photos, whatever, of spiders, cockroaches on the internet you can find. Just communicating with people in that way. So, you know, when they do think about pest control or mechanics or whatever it is that we're talking about, your name's going to pop into their head, or they can quickly jump into their email and think, who was that bloke I used 12 months ago? So that's a big part of it. And like you say, Michaela, it's a lot of it's set and forget, right? You spend a little bit of time putting together a what we call a campaign over a 12-month period. And once you've done it, that's it. You don't need to worry about it again.
One of my favourite automation stories, because, you know, I collect these, is a story about a guy went to his local butcher and he bought a particular type of meat, and by the time he got home, he'd had an email with a number of recipes to do with that cut of meat.
Really?
Yeah. So he's bought it. And by the time, you know, half an hour in his email was, here's a number of recipes and things like that. So
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. And obviously there's heaps of different ways that you could do it. But I think the other thing to point out is here too that, you know, it's recreating content as well that you already may have. So say you write a blog post, you know, you can put that as part of your automation across a 12-month period into it. So it's not like you have to recreate the whole wheel every time, but most of our listeners would already have marketing materials and articles or videos that they're already using, and it's just popping it into the actual automation for new customers to get to know them a bit more. So it's not like, you know, it's going to be this process that's going to take months to put together. You know, look at what you've already got and see how you can adapt that into your funnel.
Yeah, no, that is a good point, because one thing that may not be obvious to some people that aren't familiar with these systems is that the clock starts on a campaign, if you like, the moment the person enters it. So you can have 12 months worth of content to deliver to people, but that 12 months is different for everybody, the starting point. So like you said, McCully, you don't need to be going in there all the time and updating, although that is a good thing to do, producing new content and updating with fresh ideas and things. But you can actually, you know, spend a few hours, put a campaign together, and that will last you. You know, getting back to the what do you do first and what's the low-hanging fruit, these kinds of things are exactly the steps we go through to automate that nurture process of not only for the clients you have, but new clients that are wondering whether they should buy from you or not.
And the other, you know, cool things that you can do is, you know, if a prospect opens a certain link in your email, they can be tagged to say they perhaps are interested in that service or special, and then you can follow them up in other ways, whether it's by email again or a phone call and things like that. So it's really quite, you know, making your leads warmer and more targeted so that you're contacting them at the right time with the right type of offers and things like that.
Absolutely. And in the markets a lot of the listeners are in, a lot of the services probably we all provide, there's some level of commodity in or commoditization in the marketplace, in that, you know, there's any one of 20 providers that could actually fulfill that need for you know, people that are ready to buy. But the fact that you're differentiating your business a little bit by just going that extra mile and taking a few extra steps will set you way out ahead. You know, I've got a commercial cleaning client who was under enormous pressure during a contract renewal for a commercial building in Sydney that was one of their bread and butter clients. And we implemented a campaign where we actually speaking to the cleaners, you know, a lot of these guys are recent arrivals in Australia, the actual staff, and they're kind of, in that business in particular, these guys are sort of anonymous people, if you like, you know, particularly in office buildings, a lot of people won't give them the time of day, you know, so there's no emotional connection between the actual service that's being delivered and the staff that's on site or the company. So what we did was set up a campaign for all the clients with a photo of the cleaners that were there in the building and just a bit of a story about them, you know, a bit of a backstory saying, you know, hi, my name's one of the ladies was Francesca, a little bit of a story, you know, she'd arrived in Australia 5 years ago, got three kids, you know, and some more information about her. And the results were just phenomenal in that not only did they renew their contract and they're able to charge a higher price, but now their staff actually feel a lot better about working in this place because there is a little bit of a connection there, you know, with the people that work there. They know who they are, and, you know, there's no deep and meaningful conversations, but there is that connection with them. And this was done through about 4 hours of work, really putting this together. And it's set them streaks ahead of any other business offering that commodity service.
All right. So we've got everyone excited now because I'm sure our listeners are thinking of all the cool stuff they can do. So platforms, or what kind of, I know there's heaps of different solutions out there as far as technology goes. You know, everything from MailChimp, which is free, or I think it starts at $20 a month if you want some automation put in, right up to the Infusionsofts of the world, which are, you know, 300, 400 plus. What sort of mid-level ones do you like to recommend, or what preferences do you have?
So I've got three I really focus on myself. Like you say, there are dozens of them. And you've mentioned two of them there, MailChimp and Infusionsoft. They're sort of at two ends of the spectrum. And in the middle, ActiveCampaign is one that we do a lot of work with. You know, other options out there, AWeber, Ontraport, there's dozens and dozens, but I'll talk about the ones I'm familiar with, I guess. MailChimp's a great place to start when you're just sort of dipping your toe in the water, because you don't have to actually spend any money at all to set up a simple autoresponder. Where it starts to, well, not really, where it starts to lack in features, I guess, is when you want to do some of the more sophisticated things we've been talking about, such as tagging or doing a few, you know, if this, then that type behaviors in the business. And once you get onto their paid plans, then you're sort of getting in the realms of what an active campaign, for example, is going to set you back anyway, with a sort of a boatload of more features in there. So active campaign, I think, really sits in that sweet spot for the vast majority of businesses out there. Infusionsoft is an all singing, all dancing solution, but I think, you know, it is the right solution for some businesses, but it does come with quite a bit of complexity. And being an all-in-one solution, it does a couple of things really, really well and a lot of things just okay. So you can kind of get any outcome you want with any combination of products. In a way, Infusionsoft will do everything for you as well as e-commerce. But I think you can get a much better outcome with combinations of MailChimp, ActiveCampaign, and other point pieces of software out there. For example, if you need to collect money over the internet, you know, there's lots of really good shopping carts you can integrate. But the downside of that is there's a little more complexity in getting it set up, right?
Yeah. So I'm a big fan of ActiveCampaign as well. Yeah. I think that it's a really good solution, particularly for our type of businesses that listen. It's got a lot of good features, and I actually find it relatively easy to use, unlike Infusionsoft, for example. It's really complex to use if you're not fully trained in it. Where Active, it's quite, you know, with a little bit of practice, it's actually something that is easily to use, and it's pretty cost effective. I think it's, you know, anywhere from around $30 to $100-ish, I think, for most of our listeners. Yeah.
Yeah, the most clients I have on ActiveCampaign are spending about $70 a month. But it comes down to the amount of context you have, really, and some of the features. But that's generally, that's for 10,000 contacts, right? So if you think of, and, you know, it's sort of 5,000 to 10,000 is a jump. So if you think of an electrician that's been in business for 10 years, they're going to have several thousand people, hopefully, in some recorded in some place that they can automatically put into their marketing automation system. And that's sort of a good middle ground we've found for most clients. But that's the kind of investment that you need. And that's a monthly fee, of course. The other thing with all this software is it's in US dollars in general. Which has been a tricky one lately with the dollar going up and down. It's back up a bit today, I see. So it's not always a bad thing, but that's the consideration to take on board when you're looking into the various solutions out there. You want to know, what are the subscription costs going to be, and what are my, I guess, onboarding costs going to be as far as getting it set up as well.
And it's not a bad point.
You're still there, Warwick.
But yeah, I just thought I'd slip out and make myself a coffee while you guys had a little loving. A geek fest over here. But on that, I mean, we're not talking thousands of dollars a month for this stuff. I mean, if you had to pay somebody in your office to send these emails, track the replies, keep a database up to date, you're looking at a $40,000 to $50,000 marketing assistant or admin, high level admin person. You know, we're talking in the hundreds of dollars, and in a lot of cases, less than a couple of $100 a month. And once you've done all that setup work, which, you know, it takes a bit of time, but it's an investment in having all of this working for you, you've essentially got this marketing robot sending emails to people and sending reminders out for pest control 12 months down the track to say, hey, did you know it's almost 12 months since you had your cockroaches sprayed last, Andy? Now's a great time to start thinking about it. And by the way, it's summer, so you're probably seeing a few mozzies about, or, you know, yep, a few spiders might have made their nest. We've got a special this month. I mean, it's. I just think it's an absolute no-brainer. And the clients I see that do this stuff, the light bulb goes on for them eventually, where it's just like, wow, I can't believe I thought this was going to be expensive, painful, wanky, you know, people don't like getting emails. I mean, all that stuff, really, I just think is bullshit excuses for not keeping up with change and not doing things smarter.
Well, I think all of those points are absolutely correct, but the one that I really see people's eyes light up about is, you know, when you start talking about what would two extra clients a month mean to your bottom line, or 10 or whatever it is, right? And depending on where you are in the market and the price point and things like that, how realistic it is to close more business sort of scales according to the business. But it's pretty easy to justify the expenses generally for most businesses, yeah, if they could pick up, you know, 10 clients a year, for example.
Yeah, yep.
Just through a few hours of effort and a couple hundred bucks spent. So,
and in a lot of cases, and I'm making assumptions here for our listeners. So if you're listening to this and you already follow up 100% of your quotes, and you're following up all your reminders, you're calling people back 3 months after you visited them, or sending an email at least to say, hey, we saw you 3 months ago, hope everything's going well. If you've got any hassles, just click here and let us know. If you're doing all of those things, then you're off the hook here. But for the rest of you listening that aren't doing that 100% of the time, this is the stuff that, as you say, Andy, picks up clients here and there. And, you know, a couple of jobs a month is easy money when you start doing this stuff consistently. And that's what this automation is all about, is consistency.
Yeah, and it's the ones that you weren't going to bank anyway, right? So to give you an idea, I've got a plumber that uses ActiveCampaign, and they've seen an 85% increase in the leads they close after implementing this. A mobile mechanic is another recent one, so they're getting a 40% increase in the return business, if you like. So that scenario I kind of described before, where the pest control guy never called me back, and he did a good job, but I don't remember him. Maybe mechanics are a little different, but these are having a huge impact on their bottom line. So it is, you know, there's a little, like anything, there's a little bit of pain to go through initially when you get it together, in that you need to sit down and think about things. And, you know, one thing worth talking about is, if your business is chaos and you introduce automation into the mix, then you're going to automate some of the chaos and you'll spiral out of control, right? So it's part of a whole approach, which I'm sure you guys talk about. Well, I know you talk about a lot on the podcast here, of putting structures and systems in place. You know, and I suppose, to be fair, for the counter argument, potentially against automation now and then, you know, there have been situations where we could automate a process, but it would require a bunch of custom development, a lot of time and a lot of money. And, you know, in reality, getting a virtual assistant either locally or offshore to fill out that spreadsheet can work too, right? So there is a bit of balance in there, but and that's, you really want to target this closing business, right?
Yeah, and that's why it's worth, and this sounds like a shameless plug, mate, but that's why it's worth people speaking to an expert like you or an advisor like you to make good decisions about what to automate and what's a worthwhile investment in it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm all up for shameful plugs, but I think that's good. I mean, we do have value to offer, because this is what we do. But there are some pitfalls when you get into automation, and we've gone through it ourselves too. Occasionally, you know, obsessing on getting a process automated and all happening, that's taken 3 weeks to get up and running, and then the actual payoff on the bottom line is negligible. So, you know, we can get people up to speed very quickly and also leverage a lot of the things we've done in most businesses.
Yeah, it's about the bang for buck equation as per normal. I know Michaela really, really wants to talk more about this, but I just wanted to, because I know you work with, and you've talked about, you know, plumber, mobile mechanic, even some great examples there, but you also work with some what I would describe as heavy hitters in the online space, or in this sort of automation and marketing space, mate. And I just wanted you to give us, you know, a couple of quick examples of that big end of town, because for me, it's always interesting to see what the big guys are doing, because as smaller businesses, we have access to pretty much the same software and the same tools, and we can generate, you know, similar results, perhaps not with as many zeros on the end. So mate, what's some of the big clients you're working with and the types of numbers they're chucking around and the results they're seeing from that?
Sure. So my flagship client is a Facebook marketer in the US. So very different, obviously, to the stuff most of the people are used to. But his bread and butter business that he runs with a partner is actually an agency, right? So the idea is that you call them up and get them to run your Facebook marketing. But a couple of years ago, he decided to get into the membership site and online training arena. And I've worked with them through that process. And we're now up to closing $60,000 a month in business every month in subscription revenue. And it's just continuing to grow. And that's through, you know, he sells mainly through webinars nowadays. Again, quite a different paradigm to what most of our tradies in Australia are used to, I guess. But it's been quite a bit of work and effort to get it to the point it's at, you know, through advertising and things like that. But now it's come down to a numbers game, right, where we've got the system so finely tuned that we know if we change a few things and pump some extra dollars in the advertising, that at the end of the day, it's going to equal an increase in the bottom line. So once you tune it to the point where you've got that ratio working, so for every dollar you put into the business, sorry, into the advertising, you know, you're getting $1.80 out at the back end, for example, you're in a position where you can just pump as much money in as you've got available to grow it.
And Andy, that's why I wanted you to share that story, because for our tradie listeners, you might think, well, I'm not a Facebook marketer, I'm not selling membership sites, but that's the kicker, is when you get this stuff in place, the beauty of having your automation set up, the software that gives you reports to tell you how many people are opening what they're clicking through to, how many sales you're closing from those particular campaigns, you can very, very accurately calculate your acquisition cost per client and then decide how much money you want to invest based on how many clients you're going to get. So it's like, you know, you feed a $5 note into the machine, you crank the handle, and a $10 note comes out the back. And it's like, how many times would you do that?
And yeah, absolutely.
The answer is indefinitely. So that's the power of these software platforms, is, you know, they work for, you know, $100,000 a month type companies as far as their budgets. And we've got access to this stuff as tradies and as small businesses here in Australia. So to me, it's an absolute no-brainer to have a serious look at this stuff.
Yeah, and software is just revolutionising everything, right? I think some of the listeners would certainly have seen articles recently about a percentage of jobs that are going to disappear in the future due to automation and things like that. But one of the things that a lot of small business owners may not be thinking about is that your competitors are getting onto this and they're going to eat your lunch, right? Because those commodity type services, and we're seeing it with accountants, we're seeing it with lawyers, things that used to be esoteric knowledge that you had to go and pay someone a lot of money to do, you know, they're all starting to be taken over by automation and software. And the advantage that tradies have in particular is that you have to be in physical proximity to the work to actually perform it, right?
Yeah.
We're a long way from getting a robot to come out and build your house and things, but, you know, who knows? It'll no doubt be on the cards at some point, right?
They'll just print a house on a 3D printer one of these days.
Yeah. Oh, look, who knows, right? I mean, you know, we've all seen a lot of exciting changes, but that's the thing you need to keep in the back of your mind, is that if you don't get on top of this stuff, one of your competitors in your area will, and they will literally eat your lunch, because they'll just be on top of the lead follow-up, the nurturing of the clients and things like that. And, you know, your business can disappear pretty quickly.
Absolutely.
If you've got somebody that's switched on in your immediate sphere of competition.
Great points, Andy. So, mate, one of the questions we like to ask all of our guests here at the Tradies Business Show is, if you had 1,000 tradies in a room, or perhaps you've got 1,000 tradies on a webinar, mate, because, you know, we are talking tech here. Did you like that, Michaela, the way I did that?
Very good.
Yeah, I was impressed. Mate, if you had 1,000 tradies in a room, what's one piece of advice you would really want to leave them with?
What's one piece? So I can only speak from personal experience, right? And I don't know if this is still an issue, because I haven't dealt with too many tradies lately, but turn up when you say you're going to.
Do you know that's probably the most common answer we get?
Is it?
Still. Can they automate that?
Yeah, well, turning
no.
up. Maybe they need to send themselves an email automatically to say, hey, get out of the surf. That's terrible.
No, they're providing extra service on the job before, Warwick.
Yes.
It's all about customer service.
But it's a good point because, really, if that's the perception in the marketplace, there's an opportunity for, you know, tradies listening to this show to do things just a little bit differently. Imagine if you sent an email to your client the afternoon before or something to say, just confirming we'd be there. Like, you don't even have, but you don't have to type it. It's automated. You know, you put the appointment into your job management system and, you know, it triggers an email that goes out just 24 hours before or whatever with a few tips on making sure that the home is ready, just a reminder, please have the kettle on. I like to drink my coffee black. Or, you know, you could have a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, absolutely. And those little things do make all the difference. Again, I don't want to harp on about the commodity thing, but you think of what we're all delivering and there's any number of people that could do that for the market, right? So you've got to stand out in some way.
Absolutely. So, Andy, if someone is listening to this and they're thinking, oh, I'm in love with the idea of automation, I really want to do this.
Well, that should be everyone, but
apparently the term is frothing. I'm not really young enough to understand that. But if you're listening to this and you're frothing about automation, what's the best way to find out more about you and what you offer, Andy?
Go to the website, basically. So I've got a couple of pages set up for the podcast listeners. My domain name's a bit of a weird one, so I'll just labour the point for a second. I thought it was really clever when I chose it, and I really like it, but I get a few issues. So it's elysium.systems, and that's spelled elysium.systems, so SYSTEMS. That's it. No.com.au, elysium.systems.
Nice.
And /TBS. I've got an offer there for the listeners of the podcast if they're keen to jump in and get started. But if you just go to elysium.systems, you can download a marketing automation guide I've got there. It's fairly agnostic for any platform. It's a workbook, 33 pages with lots of checklists and things that'll get you started on the journey.
Cool, we like it. And we'll put the links in the show notes for this episode as well. So elysium.systems/TBS for Tradies Business Show. Get on it. I know Andy knows his stuff. He's put hours and hours and hours into this. And as you've heard, listeners, he's working with some big clients, so he knows his shit. But, yeah, you really need to take a serious look at this whole automation thing. And as you said, Andy, a couple of clients a month, it's totally possible. Who wouldn't want that?
Absolutely.
Well, you've inspired me to go tinker in ActiveCampaign for the afternoon.
You got other things on your to-do list, Michaela. Yeah. You stay out of ActiveCampaign.
Get your geek on,
yeah? Yeah, that's my, like, reward.
Well, mate, thanks again for coming on the show. Always a pleasure. And, yeah, go check it out, listeners. Thanks, Andy.
Thanks.
You've been listening to The Tradies Business Show with Warwick Bidwell and Michaela Clark. Want to get off the tools and into true business ownership? Find out how at tradiesbusinessshow.com.